Alrighty, some news that sort of was overshadowed by all the chaos in the Four Nations. The Stars did do some business over the weekend. It was announced that Sam Steele received a 2-year contract extension worth $4.2 million, has an annual average value of $2.1 million. Sam Steele, 27 years of age, of course, came over after not being re-signed by Minnesota a few years back. And I said, Stars fans are going to love him, and I think he's become sort of a fan favorite after the last few seasons. So what do you make of the extension, and what do you think of Sam Steele, the player? He's someone we don't get to touch a lot on because there's so many big names, but these are key guys in your lineup when you want to win a Stanley Cup.
Yeah, so you have your Stars, Joey. And we all know who they are for the Dallas Stars. And then you need pieces. That's what I call them. And they're the valuable guys that can move up and down your lineup. They're the guys that can kill the penalties. They're the guys that can log minutes when you need to log minutes. And they can also play on the fourth line. And Sam Steele delivers in all those categories. So I think he's been really good as a Dallas Star. And I think it's a very fair contract. I think it's a nice raise for Steele. I know every dollar counts with this Dallas Stars team, but I think Sam Steele offers a lot of insurance. First off, he remains healthy, and knock on wood on that, but he's there for you every single game. He makes that fourth line, if the Stars are running deep, very, very valuable. I love that line of him and Blackwell and Oscar Beck. That's a very good fourth line that can cause some damage, so I like that. I would like to see the point production go up a little bit as the contract goes up a little bit, but I think it's a real good signing and an early signing by Jim Nill. And Jim Nill has shown that he can get some of these deals done early. The only thing I was thinking, and this is not an indictment on Sam Steele, I would have liked to seen Dadonov maybe get that deal first, because I think, like Steele, he plays up and down the lineup, and I think he's having a terrific year. And right now he's on that first line and producing for that first line. And he seems to have pretty good chemistry with Robertson and Hintz. So I would have liked to seen Dadonov return, and I'm hoping that he will. But now you have to look at Duchesne, Ben, Dadonov, and then you have Wyatt Johnston, and then Harley goes into the last year of his deal. So Jim Nill has some work to do. But I think Sam Steele, that's a very fair signing. And I'm glad that he's staying in Dallas. I don't want to say he's a journeyman, but went from Anaheim to Minnesota.
Yeah.
I don't know why Minnesota decided to part ways with him.
Exactly.
A young guy with terrific speed. He kind of reminds me of Stu Barnes in a long way, to go back.
Yeah, that's a good one. Stu's,
Stu was a special player, but Stu always did those little things at a game that didn't necessarily show up score-wise. But Sam Steele, really good on the face-off at times. When you need him for a big shift, he's there. Just putting his body on the line every single game. So I like the signing. I thought it was very positive, and you're right. It took us all a little bit by surprise, but good for Jim Nill getting business done.
Yeah, I echo all of your points with Sam Steele. I really like the player, and he's just sort of that Swiss Army knife. And, you know, when Pete DeBoer's elevated him into the lineup, he usually takes control of that opportunity. He seizes the moment, which you love to see too. So it's good to have Steele in the lineup and have him as a Dallas Star for the next few years. You bring up Evgeny Dadonov, 15 goals this season. Pete DeBoer obviously really trusts him, and man, he just continues to find ways to be productive as well. And you mentioned having to sort of fit into a role that we necessarily didn't foresee him playing this season on the top line and kind of within the top six because of some of the injuries. Matt Duchesne's interesting just because you brought him up. I would love to sort of toss this around. I'm so curious what Duchesne is going to do. Like, can you really rely on him to sign another 1-year deal at like $3 million? Like, some team is going to go out there and give him at least, 2 to 3 years. And who knows, we've seen 35-year-olds get 5-year deals in long extensions. I guess you just hope that he really loves it in Dallas, which he obviously does and was a big part of why he stayed this season. I am curious what happens with that. Do you have an inclination, any feeling on is Dutchie going to come back next season?
I'm interested because here's a player that has made over $100 million in his career. So financially, I think he's good. I think he loves living here. I know his family obviously all lives here. He likes his teammates. Heading into the offseason last year, I kind of had the feeling he was coming back because he kept saying, we need to do this. We need to be better here. We need to do this. And I thought that was a telltale sign. I'm not so sure he wants to leave, but I do think the price needs to go up.
Yeah.
And I would probably offer him 2 years, five a year, and see what, you know, that, how that goes. That's a nice raise for him. I think it's very fair. And I would do the same for Jamie Benn. You know, and see what, you know, that is. If some team wants to offer eight and Matt Duchene wants to go for eight, then the Stars just need to deal with that.
Yeah.
They can't go eight a year. They can't go seven a year. I mean, they have so many contracts up, and you have to save that money for Wyatt Johnston and Thomas Harley if you want those guys to return. So to me right now, I think Duchene gets a raise, but I would love to see him stick around. Maybe it is a 1 year deal. You know, at his age, and he's a veteran, he might just want 1 year deal similar to Joe Pavelski.
Yeah.
But the Stars are doing everything off the ice as far as helping Matt Duchene feel right at home. And I think that Duchene, one of the other reasons is Dallas really wanted him.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I think that really bothered him a bit what happened in Nashville.
Yeah.
And I think for the Stars' aggression to land him and the relationship he has with Sagan. And for the Stars, I think it's more than just Matt Duchene. I think it's for, you know, Mason Marchment and Tyler Sagan.
Yeah.
Because I think he made them better players.
Yes.
And whoever is on that Duchene line seems to all of a sudden start playing really, really well. So I think it's not just Matt Duchene what he brings. I think it's Matt Duchene, similar to a point guard in basketball. He just is so good at dishing and picking up assists that, I mean, honestly, I think he's a must sign. I would actually, and I know a lot of people get mad at this, I think he's a sign before Jamie Benn at this point.
I would agree with you on that for sure, because why would you not want him back?
Yeah.
He's your leading scorer, and you just said he's the straw that stirs the drink for his line, and he's been arguably the best forward for Dallas all year long. Obviously the points back that up to some degree, but man, there's just some nights he still has it at 34 years of age. Like, his legs are firing, man. I mean, I think
those are tree trunks.
Yeah, on the West Coast trip, I think it was in that LA game. He was just like a whirling dervish out there against Kopitar. I mean, he was making Kopitar, you know, look a little average at one point. I'm like, holy cow, Matt! He's just on one.
Absolutely. And I remember an overtime win by the Stars where I think Duchene got the game winner, in fact, but he started by preventing the puck from going out. If he just does a regular shoulder check into the player, then that puck gets out of the zone. But what he did was check the player and then released his body, pinned the puck up against the boards, which allowed the Stars to keep it in, and he ended up scoring. It's those little things, the hockey sense and the hockey IQ at his mature age, and the fact that the speed hasn't gone away and the point production is still there. I mean, it's just because, you know, Matt Duchene has had a very interesting career, exploded at times for Colorado, awesome for Ottawa, and Ottawa gave him up to Columbus and played well in the playoffs for Ottawa, but had never passed the second round until this past season with Dallas. Yeah. And I think that's the other thing that comes into play when, you know, financially he's all set. What does he really want? He wants that cup. Dallas gives him a really good chance that maybe another team might not.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he knows what he has here in Dallas. So, but if I'm Jim Nill, that is absolutely a top priority.
Especially when you're in your mid 30s and you look at the way the Stars are constructed. If you're Matt Duchene, you're like, okay, I can possibly play till I'm 38, you know, maybe 40. I'm not saying he's going to be a Dallas Star when he's 40 years of age, but you have to feel like the Stars are going to be in the mix for at least the next 5 years. So it sort of extends his shelf life as a player that's trying to hunt down a Stanley Cup. Let's go to the other end of the spectrum, the young gun, Leon Bischel. he just was recalled, of course, before the break with his second stint with Dallas. And I don't have enough good things to say about him. I think he's been so good, and he's clearly one of the six best defensemen for the Stars. What have you noticed from Bischel in his second stint?
Once again, the puck carrying ability is rare for a big man. Doesn't necessarily look immediate pass. If he has an opening, he's going to skate. Not afraid to shoot, which I absolutely love the confidence that he has. The physicality that he brings in, but the discipline to stay away from fights. Everyone wants to fight the rookie, and he's not taking fights. So whatever the coaching staff told him, he's listening. And I mean, he's committed some penalties, but a lot of that has to do with his size. So I think he's been absolutely wonderful. No matter what happens, listen, you have to play him in your top six. You have to give him minutes, and you have to play him in the playoffs, because the rink's going to get smaller and size matters in the playoffs. That's why the Tkachuks are so successful. And who's going to take out those kinds of players? Bischel is one of the rare guys on this team, minus maybe Labushkin, that can tie someone up and, you know, physically move them out of the way. So I'm excited about his future. To me, he's on my no trade list. Unless you're really talking a big time player, then I'll throw it in the mix. Like somebody on Twitter asked me yesterday, you know, what would it take to get Brady Tkachuk? Well, Ottawa's in the race for the first time in a long time.
Yeah.
Ottawa's not trading Brady Tkachuk. That would devastate that fan base who has gone through so much. But what I replied with is, give me any two of the young guns, Ottawa gets to pick them for Brady Tkachuk.
You know,
whether it's Stankoven, whether it's Bork, whether it's Bischel. You know? Well,
I mean, yeah. No, yeah, for sure. Brady Tkachuk would be something on the Stars. I mean, that is like you're almost replacing Jamie Benn, like with the younger Jamie Benn. You're kind of getting that sort of type of a player, like physical sort of power forward. You bring up some potential trades, and we'll finish on this point. You do such a wonderful job on Spits and Suds of amplifying just voices in the Dallas Stars world, whether that's Robert Tiffin, whether it's, of course, Craig Ludwig back in the day. I know he's with DLS now, but Sean Shapiro, of course. So I'm curious, with the trade deadline looming, it's always fun to play sort of fantasy GM. What are some names that you're throwing out there? What are some names that you're maybe hearing from some of the guests that you have on, or just really anybody you're interested in that you would love the Stars to go out and get here in the next few weeks?
Well, we were on the Granlund, and I'm proud of that.
Yeah.
And we kept bringing up his name because he had an expiring contract, and Jim Neal has mentioned several times, it's all about collecting UFAs. And to me, that really whittles down the list. One name I'm intrigued by, and it goes against what I'm looking for, because I'm looking for a puck moving defenseman right now, for immediate help. But that said, I think Jamie Oleksiak might be a good fit here in Dallas. Expiring contract in Seattle, another big, you know, obviously he's called the big rig. It hasn't worked out in Seattle. I mean, it's worked out okay, but maybe not what they saw in Dallas. So a name like that, you know, certainly might be interested. What I tell Stars fans is the following, Joey, is that I understand that they're looking for that big name, but you have to look at the assets of the Dallas Stars, and giving up that first round pick, they don't have a second round pick either that went in the Max Domi deal. So as far as first round picks, I mean, you're talking 2027, 2028. NHL, that doesn't happen. NHL is immediacy. So you don't have necessarily a lot of draft capital to send to teams' ways for that big fish. The other thing I tell Stars fans is, to receive, you have to give. And to get that all-in marquee player, you have to trade a Logan Stankoven. You have to trade a Maverick Bork or a Liam Bischel. Mm-hmm. Or if we want to go further and you want to get an elite player, you have to give up Wyatt Johnson.
Yeah.
And people were like, well, I'm not going to give those players up. Well, then in that case, maybe you'll get another part, but you're not going to get that marquee defenseman. So they might just wait. I would not be surprised if Jim Nill makes some kind of trade, you know, at some point. It would be great if part of that trade was a prospect, so to speak, to get the Matt Dumba deal off your shoulders for next year.
Yes.
But what team wants Matt Dumba right now? Yeah. So, you know, more importantly, let's see how Lyubushkin responds after the Four Nations. But, you know, I think right now they need a defenseman. I think Cody Ceci certainly helps. Granlin certainly helps. Mm-hmm. But I've also seen this defense now is susceptible. And, you know, their teams can exploit that because unless it's Harley, who's taking it out of the zone?
Yeah.
And it's got to be CC is your second, maybe. Maybe Matt Dumba, but he's not the puck carrying defenseman he once was.
Yeah.
So you're really limited. And that Nils Lundqvist, hard to believe that we're talking about Nils Lundqvist going away and that affecting the Dallas Stars. But you know what? It has affected the Stars. They don't have puck moving defensemen. So if you can get a guy that can move the puck, I think that's great, even if you're totally healthy going into the playoffs with Miro back.
Yeah, it's a real hodgepodge back there. And, you know, the Cody Ceci deal was sort of, I've put it, I guess, lightly, it's a Band-Aid on the problem for right now, just to get a body in there that can chew up some minutes. And boy, I would love for them to go out and get an elite player, but you make a great point. You know, Seth Jones is a guy that's been floated out there. I understand that the money probably makes no sense, but, you know, you're hearing that the return is going to have to be, you know, sort of like an elite young guy or, you know, Noah Dobson even, and he may not even be on the market. But I think the GM for New York came out and said they want an elite scoring forward for him. So that's Wyatt Johnston. And I'm of the belief that Wyatt Johnston, you do not get rid of him for really any reason. He's going to be better than I think anybody you could bring in at the trade deadline this season. I truly believe that. I think Wyatt is going to be a fine player for the next decade here in Dallas. But yeah, the assets probably don't line up for Dallas, but that's also a good thing because they're being rewarded from those assets like the Johnsons, the Stankovens, and the Borks. So they're getting some rewards for that. Apologize for just my absolute brain being fried. No. I've been up for like 14 hours, so I appreciate you carrying me today. I'm slurring and I'm just trying to get through it. So
well, I mean, you bring up a great point with Seth Jones. If you can go, you know, young player with a couple of picks, the Frisco native would look. I'm interested in Seth Jones and how he'd look in a Stars sweater. Yeah. He has not been on a good Chicago. Now, Chicago would have to retain about $4 or $5 million of that salary. So, but maybe Chicago wants to do that because then they get $4 to $5 million back. But Seth Jones, I think Seth Jones, because of his injuries, people really haven't seen the Seth Jones that I think, you know, we have seen, and he's been much healthier this year in Chicago, but it's a really bad Chicago team.
Yeah. And why I'm so bullish on Seth Jones is because the environment here in Dallas, I think it will lend to him being a better player. And you don't get a lot of those guys of his size and puck moving ability and just skating a bit, like that's pretty rare. And he's a right shot.
I know.
It just feels like it would be a match made in heaven if they could find a way to make it work, but it would be tough with the money situation and the cap, of course. But you mentioned Chicago would probably have to eat some of that. I'll end on this and we'll let you go. I know I said that before we got into the trade talk, but just what do you make of this Dallas Stars team? I find it mind-boggling. They're third in the NHL. It's remarkable what they've done, but let's end on a positive note. What do you love about this year's Stars team? And what are you hoping to see here down the stretch heading into the playoff push?
With the man games missed because of the injuries, with Sagan out, with Haskinen out, I think it's been a heck of a coaching job. Pete DeBoer does a great job as far as fitting people on lines, and it just seems to work. The other thing I think that Pete DeBoer and his staff have done an excellent job of is when to play Casey DeSmith, you know, in response to Jake Ottinger getting needed rest. So I think overall, we all got on the coaching staff about power play, and Pete DeBoer said it's coming, don't worry, and it did. So I give that coaching staff a lot of credit. The word I'd use is resiliency. I think it's terrific that they were able to go overseas and play in Finland, but I think that was very taxing on the players as well, because not necessarily the trip to Finland and the trip home, but the every other night grind that the Stars have had to have. Not to mention the Stars in the NHL travel more than any other team, partly because they're located in Dallas, but partly because, you know, of where they play as far as the miles they have to. I think they've been on the East Coast four times this year.
Yeah.
So, you know, the NHL scheduling hasn't done them any favors. All that said, and those are all positives, I just don't know. And that scares me. Are the Stars better than Winnipeg? And if you want to make the argument to me that Winnipeg is going to fall like they did last year, I accept that because Winnipeg needs to prove it. But this Jets team is different because when they lose a few, then they roll off eight straight and their goal differential is among the tops in the NHL.
Through the roof.
Yeah, absolutely.
Plus 68. It's the top in the NHL.
Yeah,
plus 68 is massive.
And they're not one of the 2-1 win Jets anymore.
No.
They are an offensive machine. Guys like Mark Scheifele are having unbelievable seasons. And obviously we know Stars killer Kyle Connor, and you can go down the list, and Josh Morrissey, what he's been able to do on the blue line. I think right now he's the best defenseman in the Central Division. A lot of people would get on me, him and Cale Makar. But at the same time, so I think the Stars have a shot. I just don't know if they have enough pieces to take me to that promised land. Can they make the conference final? Yeah. I think there's a good shot. But I don't know. It's just there are too many question marks, Joey. I think, you know, will Fagan return? How's Haskinen's health going to be? So if all the parts come together and you see the pieces and all of a sudden everyone drops down as far as defensive pairings and you know, as far as forwards, then I think, wow, this is going to be a very good Dallas Stars team. I think they can beat Minnesota. Winnipeg, I think, is a question mark. I think actually they can beat Colorado, although that'll be tough. Can they beat Edmonton? That's interesting.
Yeah.
You know, the LA Kings, I think, are a real tough matchup for the Stars. So the West is always going to be a gauntlet. I have my fingers crossed because this team has shown the last couple of years, boy, it's been a fun ride in the playoffs. So let's keep our fingers crossed. Let's, you know, hope for good health and health returns. And but I just don't know at this point if they can take it to the promised land.
Yeah, I feel like that. I mean, it's just that's so perfectly put. I think I'm in the same exact boat because, do I feel good about Dallas going to the seven-game series against Minnesota? Even Winnipeg, I feel pretty good. But I am basing that on years past and just, you know, thinking of the matchups and you know, the Jets that always seem to not live up to their potential in the postseason. The Stars have always had Minnesota's number, but Minnesota has been a bit different here. They've been dealing with a lot of injuries too, probably a similar amount of man games to the Stars. And they've lost, you know, a lot of games to their best player in Kirill Kaprizov for lengthy stretches. So yeah, and the West is just a gauntlet. There's just a lot of teams there that kind of give you the heebie-jeebies. And with the way the Stars are now constructed, I think it's perfectly put. I don't know if there's enough pieces there, but I feel decent if they get healthy. I feel like if this team is fully healthy, you're like, okay, you know, conference final is a real possibility for the Stars team. If you got all the cooks in the kitchen, that's easier said than done. And who knows what we're going to see from Miro coming back. Is he going to need, you know, a few weeks to sort of, you know, get back to the level that we're usually accustomed to seeing from him. And you don't have that in the postseason. You don't have a couple of weeks. I bet Miro's going to be just fine. And you're going to be like, oh, yeah, he hasn't missed a beat. That's usually how he is. Fortunately, Marchment's sort of been that way since he came back. I mean, the first game back, was it Columbus? Such a Marchment goal. The forecheck hits a guy, steals the puck, works it back to Bischel, and then deflects. Right. And it's like, oh, well, we've missed you so much, Marchment. There he is. He was impactful right away, as you would imagine. But yeah, Dallas Stars, man, 55 games in, third in the NHL. Can you believe it? 72 points. And the second half is about to get started here in just a couple of days. I got the Devils right out of the break, so that's a great matchup. And I believe it's at home for the Stars as well. Well, Gavin, thank you so much for coming on. It's always great to chat with you. Thank you for chatting Four Nations and all the chaos that's been ensuing in that tournament over the past few weeks. Please be sure to pump your tires. So your dog's already on it.
Yeah, see, I mean, your tires 50 for you. Minutes and finally my dog decides to bark. So no, that's always a good thing. Yeah, Spits and Suds, say it real quick. We're so blessed that we have the opportunity to talk and have people like Robert Tiffin, David Castillo, Sean Shapiro, Mike Hyka has been terrific to the program, Leah Simakoff.
Yes.
And we try to do not just Stars and NHL talk, but like we really try to talk women's hockey as far as having Hannah Bilka on. We have a request in for Allison Simpson. You'll like this. On Wednesday, we're going to interview the NAHL Director of Officiating. So it's going to be great to have an official.
Oh, I need to be on that. I've been on the officials lately, guys. I'll be honest. I've been a bit bitter. There was a call the other night that really rubbed me the wrong way. So maybe I shouldn't be on that call.
Why don't you email me and I'll subtly bring it up.
Yes, please do. I appreciate that.
But it's really, really cool. And we love you, Stars fans, and thank you so much. And I'll pump Joey's tires as well. One of the great things is that a few years ago, we didn't have the coverage of this Dallas Stars team. And now there are so many outlets covering the Dallas Stars on a regular basis. So Joey's certainly one of them. So thank you so much for all you do. I just think it's wonderful. I mean, people think that we compete, and I guess we do to some level. Mm. But at the same time, I mean, the more the merrier.
Yes.
And, you know, we're talking hockey in Dallas-Fort Worth, and the Stars now have multiple voices. And the cool thing I like about you on Locked On and what I love about Spits and Suds is, you know, technically we're not intertwined with the Dallas Stars. So I understand sometimes I might say something negative or constructive criticism. That's nothing, but I mean, I'm allowed to give my opinion, and that's a beautiful thing. And hopefully people understand that. And what I also love is the feedback that we get from overseas. I mean, the fact that we have people in Italy, in Switzerland, listening in England, listening, these people are up at 2-3 AM watching the Dallas Stars. That's so beautiful.
Yeah.
So
those are true fans.
It's been great. So thank you for allowing me to plug it. Spits and Suds. So thank you for all for following and supporting the program.
Of course. Well, thank you so much. Once again, it's a perfect way to kick off our week here on Locked On Stars. Stars fans, enjoy the rest of the Four Nations Face-Off tournament. We'll be back with more episodes throughout the week, and before you know it, Stars hockey will return, and I think we're starting to get that itching back in too. It's like we want Dallas Stars hockey back. It's been too long now after a few weeks off, but the Four Nations tournament has been a nice breakup in the schedule. Well, that'll do it for today's episode. Again, Stars fans, have a wonderful Monday. Enjoy the rest of the Four Nations Face-Off tournament, and we'll see you guys on next episode. So long, Stars fans.